I remind you that we've been talking about history. And as a part of history, we often write things. We often make statements about a particular time and place in history, and these things get recorded forever, recorded either in print or in music, musical form, or in many different ways. They're remembered. They're remembered because they recall a time when things were a certain way. Sometimes things don't remain the same, and as a result, some songs become outdated. Sometimes things remain the same, and the songs remain relevant. It's up to the individual sometimes to decide what their impression is of the present reality. But there was a time when many of our songs were written where we all understood the present reality of the writing of these songs. We all have print and braille song sheets. If you turn to the Bureau song, it speaks of a time in the Bureau song when relationships with agencies weren't that good, the services weren't that well delivered, and sometimes that is just as true today. I wouldn't contend that it is always true in every place, but it's often enough true that a lot of people still feel that this song is relevant. Where it is not relevant, I'm glad it's not relevant anymore. Where it is relevant, we need to make it irrelevant. But to the extent that this song still strikes a chord, I think we need to raise the attention of not only ourselves and the organization, but the state agency administrators to the reality of the feelings of blind people through music, through literature, and through their own feelings described in the music there. So I'm going to ask, just as a recollection and a walk down memory lane, and perhaps a focus, for you to join me and Mindy in going through this Bureau song, and then let's see. And with that, I will give the opportunity following the Bureau song for a response to the Bureau song. This is a long introduction of Associate Commissioner Brian Daniels from the Commission for the Blind. But why don't you join me in the singing of the Bureau song, Mindy Kiki?
Thank you, the Bureau song, straight from school and a little bit nervous. And I asked for a job and the counseling slaw. Sign me up for 2 years rehab service. And they tested me and they rested me. And they told me there was some hope. And yet
Rough beginning.
Yeah.
good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I wondered whether you would play a song from the computer for me, and I was sitting here thinking, what could it be before the commission comes up to speak? Could it be something like, Don't Go Breaking My Heart? But I think you certainly popped that one. Again, good morning to everybody. Here I find myself once again among friends. I find myself among friends and very proud to be here and equally proud of the Commission for the Blind and Visually Handicapped in New York State. You know, I really do sincerely think that we get it right quite often. And when we don't, we know it, because you tell us. Now, of course, I can't think of even one counselor on our staff who really is a slob or a jerk, including your own member here, Bob Barbera, who I have to admit that I caught a glance at him while we were singing, and I saw a smile on his face, too, because I know he knows the truth as well, and I know you all do, too.
We do.
All right,
you must have been singing about Europe and other states. So I can tell you, though, nonetheless, it is nothing less than an honor to speak before you today, before the New York State affiliates of the National Federation of the Blind. And you know, this is the first time that I have the pleasure of speaking to you as Associate Commissioner of CBVH. Carl, thank you for your introduction. And you know, the last time we were at a conference or convention together, I had the honor of introducing you, Carl, back in May in Albany when CBVH co-hosts our annual Vision and Employment Institute. You'll recall that Joe Pepin, the newly minted New York State team director from the Federal Rehab Services Administration, of course our federal funder, Joe Pepin was present. He was in from Washington at our request to introduce himself to us. Now, not wanting to make this a one-sided affair, I decided to take my 20 minutes, a lot of time, to introduce the leaders of New York State to Mr. Pepin. Now, of course, the leaders are found so far beyond the walls of CBVH, and we were fortunate enough to have several of CBVH's key stakeholders present that evening. Among them was Carl, and I was pleased to introduce Carl publicly to Mr. Pepin. Now, of course, I carefully scripted myself, so I showed up with a neatly typed speech that I had actually read over once allowed to practice, which I very rarely do. And that wasn't a forum in which I particularly desired to say the wrong thing, and neither is this one. But a couple of minutes into my introductions, I came to Carl Jacobs. Of course, I chose my words carefully, Carl, and I'll bet you remember them because we talked about it. We talked about those words quite fleetingly the next day. But even those very few words we spoke the next day have remained with me these past months. And in that speech, friends, I introduced Carl by saying, perhaps we disagree more than we agree. Now, Carl, I hope you don't mind me telling the rest of the story. But I'm going to tell it anyway. Actually, part of it was a private conversation between us. And you know what? You can choose to delete it from the audio portion of this if you so desire. The next morning, Carl and I, we met up with each other, and we were sitting and really just kind of shooting the breeze before our presentation began. And we were talking about an issue so critical to our field that I can't think of any one that's greater than this one. We were talking about that same darn statistic. That same darn statistic that has plagued our field for longer than any of us can bear or should accept. We spoke about that unfortunately stagnant number, 70% unemployment rate among the blind, as that statistic was already dominating the discourse at our Vision Institute. We lamented together, and Carl seemed, understandably, a little fed up, and as if he were sick and tired of bemoaning the same thing. It was then that I said something like this: "Carl, I hope you don't mind that comment I made about us not agreeing on many things." Carl's response was, "Well, actually, let me put you on the spot. Do you remember what your response was to me?"
No, I actually don't, but if you remind me, I probably will. Because I know what grew out of that.
Oh, absolutely. I want to talk about that, too.
Because you're the United
States. Absolutely, and we both can talk about it. Carl, you told me in essence that we agreed across the board, essentially, on the fundamentals. And any parting of the mind was just on how to address this. It was evident by the tone of your response, Carl, that I hadn't offended you greatly by the comment, but perhaps maybe I troubled you, and I understood that. And quite frankly, I kind of like that notion, because I have known you long enough to believe that something, and I did not know what, but something was truly troubling you. And I did realize that it had to be the incessant appearance of that 70% statistic.